ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। You know, in this chapter, which is almost the end of part A, he talks about gaining wisdom. The topic itself is called light of wisdom. It is not enough if we gain just mere information. We need to bring about a transformation to see the benefit in our life. See, Vedantic knowledge, if it is merely understood, it will not be of that much use to you. Whereas if you have really gotten into the depth of it, it will bring about a change in your own life. From being shackled, bound, you become liberated. From being passive, you become aggressive. From being conditioned, you become unconditioned. There will be a complete change in your life. Nothing has changed. The environment is same, people is same. Your everyday routine may be same. Your office, your business, everything being same, but you lead a completely different life. That is only if you have got wisdom. Otherwise, not possible. So how to convert the knowledge into wisdom? He talked about it. He said, it's like process of converting milk into curd. Milk here refers to the sattvic mind. You cannot be rajasic or tamasic. Like the milk needs to be lukewarm. You need to be in the middle. Neither too rajasic, highly restless, nor too tamasic, very cold, lethargic, lazy. You can't be this side or that side. You have to be in the middle path. Then, early hours of the day, every day, you take a little bit of knowledge, you read, you reflect. It's like adding that little jamun to the lukewarm milk. Then leaving it overnight, it gets converted into curd the next day. Similarly, every day, little bit you study, you reflect, then slowly, slowly, the knowledge settles. It becomes like thick curd. Then what you have to do? You have to churn the curd and remove the butter. Similarly, with that knowledge which is solidified in you, solidified in the sense, it is not that you want to philosophize everything, but whatever experience you go through, you kind of look at it philosophically. You know, people may pull each other, like when you're with friends, people pull each other, you know. You may be a big CEO, and that other guy may be your classmate who is not that big in life, maybe in terms of material. But when you are together, he may be pulling you as a friend. Sometimes it hurts you. But if you are a Vedantin, you'll be giving him a high five. You did a good job, you know. So what I'm trying to say is, even the very difficult situation, you'll be able to handle it very easily, very lightly, without any much of trouble. Like, I don't know, it was it Abraham Lincoln whose father was a cobbler? Am I correct? Nobody knows? I think Abraham Lincoln only. I think his father was a cobbler as well. So somebody teased him, look at these shoes. You know, your father only stitched it. He said, oh my God, very good. My father has done a fantastic job. In case something goes wrong with it, please give it to me, I'll sort it out. You know, see, the guy who said it, he said it to put down, but he was able to deal with it very calmly. That comes with,
saying he was a carpenter and managing a farm. I just looked up the Google.
Okay, then maybe I'm missing the words. But anyway, so the thing is, this is the idea. The idea is, you may be in extremely difficult situation, yet you should be able to look at it lightheartedly. That is possible only when you stand apart. When you stand too close, it's not possible. In life, we all stand too close. Become very close. All the time get tensed. Kya hoga, kya hoga, kya hoga. And in that stress, we make a lot more mistakes. Even little bit knowledge we have, we won't be able to use that. So therefore, you got to churn your personality every day with this knowledge. And then the butter separates, the wisdom separates. So that's why we say Nididhyasana process. Nididhyasana is simple. It's like repeatedly watching the recorded video. Repeatedly you watch. Then every little detail you will be able to say. See, after this, he'll be wearing these clothes. He will say this dialogue. You know, like that, but to repeatedly bring after this knowledge again and again and think about it, dwell in it. Like pickle soaked. You've got to soak yourself. Then the butter separates. So this is what we have studied so far. So without questioning, without analyzing, without churning, without affirmations, without, you know, negation and assertion, it's not possible. Whatever you understood, you bring it in the context and see. Then you are assimilating it. Then it becomes kind of a normal practice for you. That's how you have to develop wisdom. Then you will be a thinker. See, today you might have to put in effort to think. But if you do this practice, thinking becomes spontaneous. You'll be able to process very fast. The more the data, a situation may become complex today. But with more data, you get much deeper vision with inner calmness and clarity. So therefore, an aggressive person who is also unselfish or selfless will be able to deal with the aggressive person who is selfish, aggressive in the sense thinking type. Another person may be there who is a thinking type but selfish. And there are other people who are non-thinkers who may be selfish, unselfish, doesn't matter. All these people will be easily dealt with by the person who has unselfishness and ability to think. Such a person is called aggressively good person. So in this next topic that we'll do today, aggressive and passive, he analyzes why is it that good people suffer in the world. A lot of good people suffer. Even in business, a lot of people have this question. We follow the rules and regulations meticulously. There are other business competitors of ours who don't follow any of these rules. No ethics, no morality. They come up, they do well. Now, why is this? How to go about? And you'll get an answer when you understand this topic. Why is it that good person suffers? It's all very easy to say karma. Correct, karma, everything is karma, no doubt. But you also, in karma, there are two forces. Remember, whenever as a Vedanta student, you use the word karma, karma, Remember, two forces are there. What are the two forces in karma? Anybody? One is called prarabdha, other is called purushartha. Karma law, you must understand correctly, law of karma. What is it? You are the product of the past and producer of the future. You are the product of the past is prarabdha. You are the producer of the future is purushartha. You understand? Because of your past, you are what you are today. But you can be what you want to be in future if you continue to put in effort today and be consistent in it. It won't change overnight, but you can eventually change it. So an aggressively good person is what is needed, and we have to make ourselves an aggressively good person if you want to survive in any field. Even generally in families also, people keep on complaining. You know, they are talking like this is happening. Itna kiya, phir bhi wo gratitude nahi hai, wo nahi hai again. Now, if you have objectivity, if you understand all this, you can't expect gratitude from certain people. See, the snakes and all, they have only reptilian complex brain. They don't have that brain which a dog has. You understand? So therefore, they will be reactive. It doesn't matter how long you've been taking care of the snake. You may be funding the snake, but it has only reptilian complex. Whereas a dog has an emotional brain. So that will be having more gratitude. So you must understand. Similarly, human beings, different varieties are there. So it's a very complex situation. You go into business, it's even worse. You know, so a lot of people, they get confused here. We are good, yet we are suffering. What are we supposed to do? So therefore the law is, it's not enough if you are good. You have to be aggressively good. That's the law. You want to be happy and prosperous in this world, you have to be aggressively good. If you are passively good, you will be finished by the aggressively bad people. So it's a law. You need to develop your thinking. It's a must as a human being. Thinking is taken very casually by all of us. Like as if, you know, nobody taught me how to eat. Nobody taught me how to sleep. I will like that. I will also think. No. Thinking is an art, it's a skill. We need to learn, understand, put it into practice and master it. The more you think, the more stronger your thinking will become, sharper your thinking will become. So therefore you got to engage yourself in constant thinking. And when we study on a weekly basis and daily study when we do at home, the idea is it's a food for thinking. By ourselves, we can sit and think, but do we have the capacity? So if you have a book which makes us think, which provokes us to ask questions, then we will be exercising our thinking. Thus, our thinking will become sharp and strong. Then, with proper thinking, if we have fortified our mind by purifying it, when you have a fantastic combination of pure mind and sharp intellect, you become aggressively good. Then you Then life becomes a play, Leela. Then whichever house you live, that should be named as Leela Palace, not the hotel. You understand? Wherever you live, that will become Leela Palace. You'll just enjoy Leela. Amasha chal raha bas. Even if you fall, you'll fall like a rubber ball. Rise. Not fall like a lead plate. I'm planning to commit suicide. Then why are you not committing? Yeah, aaj, what is that? Ashtami hai. Kal Navami. Navami mein I'll do. Because then I'll go to, Ashtami mein I will go to Narak. You have all kinds of, when I say you, anybody, so much of negative thinking. All this has to go. When will it go? Simply you read, it won't go. You have to use that knowledge. That's why this topic, aggressive and passive. It's very important as a human being, you have to become aggressively good. Let's continue with the topic. The aggressive and the passive. Please read, Shweta.
The aggressive and the passive. The nature of human beings falls under two broad classifications. The aggressive and the passive. The aggressive are those who use their intellect in life's activities, while the passive operate from the level of their mind. Again, each of these can be classified as good or bad. Thus, there are the aggressive good and aggressive bad persons. Likewise, the passive good and passive bad, as illustrated below. Human beings, subdivided into aggressive and passive. Aggressive is subdivided into aggressive good, aggressive bad, and passive is subdivided into passive good, passive bad. The terms aggressive and passive have a special connotation derived by the use of non-use of the intellect. The mind and intellect are the two equipments which propel human activity. The body cannot act on its own. Actions proceed from either the mind or the intellect. A person is considered passive when he acts from his mind without the guidance of the intellect. Whereas, he who uses his intellect to direct his mind and body to act is classified as aggressive.
See, first of all, we need to do this analysis to understand about ourselves and to understand about the other person. Because we are in this world, which means we are constantly relating. When you are awake, till the time you go to sleep, you are constantly relating with some person or the object or situation. So you need to have proper assessment about yourself, about the situation, about people, about objects, everything. So you should first understand, are you a person who operates propelled by the mind or by the intellect? How many of your actions in a day is thought about using the intellect and then done? To start with a simple thing, like how many clothes I should have, what kind of clothes I need to have. Every purchase of yours, whether it is clothes or anything. For example, when you buy phones today, every now and then they keep introducing new phones. And some new feature will come. And most 90% of the features we don't even know. But simply we want to have that phone. Why? Everybody has it. And in that level, I need to have a status symbol. It is more like a toy. Do you really think and buy? How many actions in a day is propelled by thinking? That determines whether you are a person who operates at the level of intellect or operates at the level of the mind. It's extremely important to find this out. And then, generally, are you an unselfish person or a selfish person? Do you look at things egoistically, Or do you look at things with broad-mindedness, unselfishly? Is your circle of identification large or very narrow and small? You need to find this out. You may have a manas which is vishalam or very narrow. Me and myself, maximum my family, my children. So, two things. If you are having broad mind, the circle of identification is large, you are considered a good person. If your circle of identification is small, me and myself, maximum my family, you are a selfish person, bad person, egoistic person, egocentric person. Then are you the type which thinks and acts? Are you the type who acts on the mind's impulses, feelings? Based on that, you either become aggressive or passive, and aggressively good or aggressively bad, or passively good or passively bad. So we need to find this out first. If I am in the passive category, I need to move to aggressive category, and especially aggressively good category. But the process involves some time. So in this time period, when I am moving from passive to aggressive, especially from passive to aggressively good, in the major decisions of my life, I will always consult the higher intellect. This has to be very clear in your head. Once you have become aggressively good, you will be able to handle. In small, small issues, it's okay even if you make mistakes. But major issues, you must consult a higher intellect. And simultaneously do get involved in the process of strengthening the intellect, becoming more aggressively good. So therefore he says there are four human beings, four types of human beings. Aggressively good, aggressively bad. Passively good, passively bad. Bad means selfish, self-centric, egocentric. Good means circle of identification is much larger, not egoistic, egocentric, open-minded, looking to see what is good, not looking to see what is pleasurable to me, what is my convenience. All this makes you good or bad. Then are you operating using the intellect, executing your goodness or badness, functioning out of mind impulsively? Based on that, you will become either aggressively good, aggressively bad, passively good, passively bad. And once you understand this, then you will be able to deal with people properly. You will be able to relate better. Please continue.
A passive person functioning from the mental health lives mental by a passive person functioning from the mental health mental level lives by his feeling rather than reason and judgment. He does not think, discriminate with his intellect, nor scrutinize, analyze his actions, much less questions with their merit or demerit. He lives a routine mechanical pattern of life, follows blindly the life of his family predecessors. Environment, situation and circumstance shape his individuality rather than his individuality shaping them. By and large, he lives an unintelligent, dogged life of passive acceptance of whatever has gone before him. He lacks the intellect initiative to use his human resources to rise above the external influences and steer himself to a meaningful, purposeful life.
Continue.
Such passivity may lean towards good or bad. A passively bad person leads a wrongful, immoral life without really intending to do so. He does not willfully, guilefully plan or scheme activities to meet his private ends. He does not mean to be bad. He continues to live a wrong way of life, usually inherited from his past. His intellect does not consciously examine the nature of his activity and its repercussions. He is caught up in a mode of living which happens to be bad.
Yeah, continue.
So, it is with the passively good person. He is involved in a way of life which happens to be good, moral, without even realizing it to be so. He merely leads his life based on good impulses. He does not plan and execute a virtuous way of living. His intellect has not gone through the process of analyzing and determining a right course of life. He carries on unmindful of the repercussions of his actions. Such indiscriminate action, however good, may at times prove detrimental to himself and his society.
So, he's first talking about the passive functioning of a human being. This passive person functioning from the mental level lives by his feelings rather than the reason and judgment. I feel so I do that. Like just now I gave you an example of buying a mobile phone. What am I going to use this mobile phone for? Most of the time, just sending WhatsApp, watching YouTube, messaging. Maybe some people use it for email. Like this small things, calling, clicking pictures. That's all. So why do you, now you ask them, why do you need a pro phone? With a pro phone, you can program. You can do a lot of programming in it. But no, I need, it's slightly big. It looks nice. I'm just giving example. So you are not really thinking and operating. You're going by your feelings. When you go by your feelings, you are a passive person. It is wrong to not have feelings. Also, it is equally wrong if you go by your feelings without consulting your buddhi. If you don't have feelings, it's a big problem. If you have feelings and go by it, that is also a problem. So you have feelings, no problem. But the propellant factor should be your thinking. The call is this. Nobody questions the merit and demerit of the action. They do. So what is this passive means, he explains. He says, they follow blindly the life of his family, predecessors, environment, situation, circumstance shape his individuality rather than his individuality shaping them. You live in a family, there may be certain customs that they have been following. You don't have to follow them mechanically. Now, we are not against traditions or customs, but you don't have to follow that mechanically. You got to adopt that to the context. See, anything that is not adopted to the context, such people will perish. Such families, such individuals, such culture will perish. Otherwise, it's difficult to survive. So, a lot of people are there who, no, this is our family, this thing, the environment, they will go by that. It has to be done, that's it. And they may be agitated. I don't like to do that. But karma padega, kya kare? Kaun saaf kar rahe hai? What is your problem? Why are you giving into that? Who is forcing you? You are not a small child. You are an adult. Why you are not able to stand up? Because you don't have a stronger thinking. So therefore, he says, following blindly the life of his family, predecessors, environment, situation and circumstance shapes his individuality rather than his individuality shaping. In Delhi, we have this lori, no? Lori. In lori, they burn things. Especially, I don't know what they burn in Delhi, wood or something. The old stuff also, you throw in it or you don't? No, is it? In Tamil Nadu, in Chennai, when we, same day we celebrate something similar, it's called Bogi. Only difference is in Delhi, everything is celebrated in the evening. Chennai, everything is celebrated in the morning, early morning. So bogi, it is lodi there. They burn. What are you burning? Burning all the old conditionings. You have to be born new every day. You got to keep yourself new, fresh every day. When you sleep, what is happening to your brain? It sorts out things, na? It's like, you know, throughout the day you've been too busy sending out letters, dictating few quotations and this and that in your office. You didn't have time to properly file the letters or papers or whatever, you know. So what do you do? Just before going to home in the evening, you are now filing everything properly in its place. It takes hardly 15 minutes, maybe half an hour. You don't do it, it keeps on piling up. So, this is what your brain does when you sleep. The filing is happening. You give rest to your brain and the brain is doing the filing job. And the body also relaxes. The brain is relaxed very much. Next day morning when you wake up, you are rejuvenated. Like that in life, every day we have to be born again. Newly born. Mahakavi Bharati, on whose name that road is there, that Khan Market Road. Khan Market Road is called Mahakavi Subramanya Bharati Road. He is from Tamil Nadu. He is a great freedom fighter and poet. In one of his poetry, he says, Indru Pudidai Pirandom Indru Kondadedi. Means what? Today we are newly born. Celebrate like that. So many old things, we have to adapt it to the new, otherwise throw it. Bhagavad Gita, are we studying simply because it's given 5,000 years ago? Oh, Sri Krishna, Bhagavan Diyata. Correct, Bhagavan only gave, no problem. We have that much devotion to accept it, no problem. Bhagavan told Arjun, what did he tell? When Arjuna asked a question, is worshipping form superior, formless superior? Ideally, formless worship is superior. But he says form worship is superior. Because that is what is correct for Arjuna. Arjuna is in that level. If somebody comes and asks, should I get married or not married? The fact that you are asking this question means you are a marrying type. If you are a non-marrying type, means you will be very clear. Hey, Baba, leave me alone. So, you are asking questions. So, you say, best is get married. That doesn't mean it is the best for everybody. So, like that, in the context, Sri Krishna tells Arjuna that worshipping form is superior to worshipping formless. He's not lying. The answer is to the questioner. The question is answered to that particular questioner. Please understand that. Don't forget that. So, we have to use this in our day-to-day life correctly, properly. Adopt this in our life. Without having to compromise so much. To follow your tradition, fine. But something, if they were following blindly, you don't have to follow that now. Especially in today's context, maybe it's redundant. You don't have to do that. But we do that. We'll still do. Why? Say, Kesa, stop for a second. I can't stop. I don't want to stop. I will do it. So that's what he's saying. Mechanically, you continue. Your life is dictated by impulses of your mind and the ideas and ideologies of some other person rather than your own thinking. He says they live a dogged life of passive acceptance of whatever has gone before him. He lacks the intellect initiative to use his human resources.
दूसरा वाला charger नहीं है तुम्हारे पास?
So he lacks the intellect initiative to use his human resources to rise above the external influences and steer himself to a meaningful, purposeful life. You will face challenges. How can you stop? You've been following it so many years. So what? I don't want to do it. I will not do it. I don't want to do it means not that I'm going with my mind. See how? How many silkworms are put in boiling water to make one silk sari? Yeah? Now, it's your choice. You decide whether you want to wear it, not wear it, it's up to you. But, do you know about this? After this, if you feel like, no, it's not correct. Yes, I need to survive. All this is important. Clothing is important. That doesn't mean I have to wear only this type of clothes. Fur of certain animals. Huh? Now, if supposing they say, no, in our family, deserved, excuse me, I will follow these things, this I will not follow. You want to follow, you please follow. You must have the guts to stand up. What to do, kya kare yaar, you know, aisa bol rahe, you have to follow, fine. Then you will be completely overpowered by people around you. Then don't say, star peak nahi hai. कब सही होगा? You must be able to stand up. There were reasons for people to follow sati maybe long time ago. That doesn't mean you everybody husband jumps or wife immediately jumps. All this nonsense. There are maybe when it started maybe there were certain reasons. Now that doesn't mean you have to continue. Maybe there was no reason also when it started. No, but question is, now you put it to reasoning, na? You see whether it has any meaning in it or not. So, lot of times, the sense of proportion misses in a very passive person. That's what he's saying. So, such passivity may lean towards good or bad. If it's for private end, you work, bad. If it is for the good of people at large, you are a good person. So, mechanically sometimes, you know, if in your family, the elders speak filthy language very easily, let's say, abusive language every day, children also pick up. And there are certain habits, gambling, smoking, drinking, whatever habits are there like this, maybe you grew up in that family, you pick up. But you may not be a person who is viciously planning and scheming to destroy somebody else. So you are a passively bad person. You grow up in a very passive, negative environment all the time. People keep thinking negatively. You also start thinking negatively. Doesn't mean you're a aggressively bad person. Similarly, there are people who pick up good values. Not because they thought about and they picked up those values. The parents, the elderly people at home, you know, they have this culture. So pick up those values. But they are very mechanically following it. They're all passively good people. So, just because you are good doesn't mean everything good will happen to you. You have to have goodness, no doubt. But along with goodness, The intellect has to be directing. And that he talks about in the next paragraph. The aggressive nature. Continue.
The aggressive nature is the opposite of the passive. An aggressively bad person viciously plans and schemes, manipulates and maneuvers immoral, corrupt ways of life for pursuing his selfish motives. He observes no scruples, breaks custom and tradition, rule and regulation, all for his self-centered personal aggrandizement. The aggressive constantly employ their intellect in programming their lives, whereas the passive never do so. Consequently, the aggressive are more powerful. The aggressive bad dominate over the passive good and bad, and freely exploit them to serve their personal interests.
So this, when he talks about aggressive nature, he first talks about the aggressively bad fellow. Meaning, one who thinks viciously, scheming and planning, he does bad for the others. He is generally an egoistic person, selfish fellow, self-centered, just loves for himself to meet with his private ends, no, desires, to fulfill the desires. That's all he is interested in. He is not interested in everybody else's welfare. Such a person, he can at times be very unscrupulous. But you are very ethical, you are stuck to your so-called dharma. Easily you will be fooled by that fellow. That's what he said. An aggressively bad person who viciously plans and schemes and manipulates and maneuvers, follows immoral and corrupt ways of life for pursuing his selfish ends, selfish motives, no? May start dominating over the so-called good people. That's what he says. He follows no scruples. There's no right and wrong in for that fellow. Breaks custom and tradition, rule, regulation. If need be, he'll break the line and go. Highly self-centered. Everything is looking from the personal aggrandizement point of view. Mere liye kya hai? Like that. So that's why he says the aggressive constantly employ their thinking, intellect, in programming their life. The passive alone never does that. So always passive will be ruled over by the aggressive. See, remember in life, the law is subtle controls the gross. The law is what? Subtle controls the gross. What does that mean? Elephant is powerful physically or a human being is powerful? Huge animal it is, elephant. Puny little fellow sitting on top of the elephant with a small stick, he controls that elephant. He pokes the elephant and communicates to the elephant to turn left, it turns left. He pokes it this side, says turn right, it turns right. Supposing the elephant were to turn around and ask, beg your pardon, that fellow will run around, run away. But he's an elephant, he's strong physically, but cannot think. Human being is not that strong physically compared to an elephant, but can think. Subtle controls the gross. Gross doesn't control the subtle. Mind is gross, intellect is subtle. Mind can only go to the known areas. Your body is now sitting in Delhi, but your mind can go to London. Now, can it go to something which is unknown? It can't. But intellect can go. When something unknown is said, mind gets confused. Kya hai? And intellect says, okay, kya hai? Bolo, explain karo. And when it is explained, the intellect understands. And now the intellect can go. The intellect is that which makes the unknown known. Then the mind can go. So intellect is far subtler than the mind. So that's why the people who think and operate, they can do all this. You will say, no, I will not do all that. No, I am not saying you should do or you should not do. First, you need objectivity. That next he talks about. Aggressively good fellow has that. Swamiji gives one example in this book. He's going to talk about Mahabharata. But in Julius Caesar's play, Julius Caesar was murdered by the senators taking Brutus, a very close friend of Caesar, on their side. And the famous line by Brutus, it says, it has to be by his death. He's still dead debating whether it is the good of Rome or is it that he can become the next powerful person. What was it? Now, everybody is hailing Brutus after he gives a speech. Not that I loved Caesar any less, but I loved Rome more, he says. Everybody was hailing Caesar, Caesar. Now start saying, hail Brutus, hail Brutus. Now, Mark Antony knows the truth. Now, the situation is completely against him. So, he has to very clearly use the situation properly and plan and discuss with them. Tell them to convey the truth. So he says, friends, Romans, countrymen, I have come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. Because they know, he knows, they are all against the Caesar. But he is not against Caesar, he is actually for Caesar. He knows how good a person Caesar was. But now he can't say that. If he says that, he will be finished. He is not worried about himself being finished. He wants to do justice to Caesar. He wants people to understand what happened to him. For that he has to use psychology. So if it means that he has to put down Caesar a little bit, he will do that in the beginning. That's called objectivity. In fact, in the end, after he finishes off his talk, fantastic speech he gives. Friends, Romans, countrymen, have come to bury Caesar. Lend me the ears. I've come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. He goes on and on. And then, when this fellow gets very emotional, he tells them, I told you about a will that Caesar wrote. Yeah, read the will, read the will. And then he reads the will, he explains to them what all good Caesar had planned for them. They say, mutiny, yay, woe. You know, then he says, mischief, thou art afoot, take thou what course thou wilt. He started the mischief. Whether I will be successful or we will lose doesn't matter. Karmani eva adhikaraha ma phaleshu kadachit. That is what it means. Mischief thou art afoot, take thou what course thou wilt. That objectivity. The people are like this, they are doing like this. Correct, they are doing like this. Then you? No, I won't do like. Correct? So, you need to think. You need to understand the context, the data. It's very important. As a leader, you need to be principle-centered, not principle-bound. What is needed is principle-centered leadership. Principle-centered parenting. Principle-centered relationships.
Guruji, I have a question.
Yes, please.
So then in this case, like supposing a word like manipulation or like is the word is not, does not always have to be negative, but because no. It's manipulating in a...
Yeah. What is the end for which you are manipulating?
But if the end is justified, the intention is justified, then
no, manipulation end does not is not justify. The wrong word. You independently ask me a question.
Hmm.
Does the end justify the means? No. Is the answer.
Hmm.
Okay. Hmm. The end does not justify the means. I want to do good for everyone. I want to help the poor people. So can I become like Robin Hood?
Hmm.
Oh. Okay. You don't do that.
Hmm.
But you are living in a society. You are driving the car. You are supposed to be in India, you drive and keep left. Understand? Hmm. You are driving, keeping left. One fellow completely drunk, driving the lorry and coming in the opposite direction. Now you are saying, I will follow rules.
Hmm.
I will only go this side. Are you idiot? I am also sitting in the car. Let's go that side. No, no, no. The rule is I. How dare he comes in front of me like this? I will not stop. Let me at least get down. You go if you want to die. So that is not manipulating. That is not end justifying means. See, when you say end justifying means, there is ego there, that my end is some good end.
Right.
You understand? So end justifying means is wrong. That I am not saying. But at the same time, situation is such, you always go by the right means. In that situation, what is the right means you have to see? You see the difference between the two?
Yes, but today, like I'm just saying it for the word manipulation, supposing. Like in my head, that
the
is
the word that is used always
is negative.
Context where you are selfish.
Okay. So manipulation will, it's only when it's selfish, it's manipulation.
Yes.
No, but even if you're saying again, like when we are talking about end justifying the means, if
Baba, I told you just now, you are working for a cause, you are following dharma as much as possible wherever you have to. But there are situations where, like the lorry, okay, for that temporary time, you need to have that objectivity to go that side and come back. Like there's a road repair going on. You dug up the road. So they say, men at work, take diversion. They say, no, 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 sorry. I am not taking diversion. I will go, no problem even if I fall in the pit. Okay, fall.
So that rigidity is...
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Okay. Understood.
That is passive.
That is passive, and that's the difference between intellect and using the intellect to come back.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So that is not manipulation. Na? Manipulation is end justifying the means. Aisa soch ke karna wala, it will come under manipulation. Here you are not intending to manipulate anybody. You don't want to get manipulated. There are people manipulating against you. So to avoid those manipulations, kuch na kuch karna padta. Wo bhi main nahi karein. Okay, don't do. Then at least don't complain then. No, I'm complaining. Continue, please.
The fourth cadre of the aggressively good person, rare indeed, is one in this category. The aggressive good is inherently virtuous, divine. He uses his intellect to plan and program his course of life for the benefit of one and all. Never functions impulsively. His reason and judgment steers every activity, directed to the well-being of the community. He studies facts, foresees consequences, and works towards the best interest of the people. A single aggressively good person can bring about peace and harmony in the community.
See, both the aggressively bad and the good, they think and function. But the aggressively bad fellow's focus is selfish. All the time, only thinking about himself. So there is always little bit of agitation in that person, whether my end will be met. Somebody comes in between and gets the project which he wants to achieve, gets delayed, he gets agitated. Aggressively good fellow has nothing personal there. He considers himself as a spoke in the wheel of life. So, jo main karna karenge, agar things get delayed because of some unforeseen reasons, he is able to be calm. So, that calmness with the clarity of thinking helps that person to dominate over the aggressively bad fellow. You understand? Whereas aggressively bad fellow will dominate passively good and passively bad. But aggressively good can dominate over aggressively bad. Because this fellow is involved, is acting by, propelled by desires. So he will be agitated. He has certain results. I know something. I'm doing it for the welfare of everyone. I'm also part of the total. Like a spoke in the wheel of life, I do and get out. But I think and do. So I don't get involved. So therefore, I'm able to objectively deal with this one. He cannot judge you so easily. Best example is Krishna. He's giving an example. You can't judge him. What he'll do? But he will not, he doesn't have the idea that ends justify the means. No way. He followed Sam, Dan, Ved. Uske baad, Dand, war. They tried all the possible. And in Dand also, these fellows do all nonsense. They killed Abhimanyu without following any rules that they had put down. The rules were put down by them. They will kill Abhimanyu and then people will criticize Krishna killing Karna. And Karna was one of the fellows who killed Abhimanyu. You get it? So therefore, you need to understand how the whole thing works. Continue.
The proportion of the passes, right? Sorry.
Pardon?
Hami, see?
The two bads don't make their act right.
No.
Can you hear me?
It's not like two bads. It is a question of survival in the context.
No, you said that people say that, oh, Krishna also killed and...
Krishna, so... the point is, it's not too bad. Following the rules, then, listen, it's like this. He decided very well that, you know, in a game, we'll only use one hand. Suddenly you start using both the hands. But I have to continue using one hand and win. What kind of a logic is this? Okay, you use two hands, I'll also use two hands, no problem. Whatever is rule for you will be rule for me. Simple. I and you agree upon a certain rule. And we function. Suddenly you will change the rule and you say, no, no, listen, from now on this will be my rule. But you have to function on that rule which we both signed, correct? Why should I?
Should you not just withdraw or move away or just follow the right?
No, no, there is... See, right is always with reference to the wrong. What is right without wrong?
Yes, so this is wrong.
There is nothing there is can right. be called as right without wrong.
Correct.
See, for example, you don't kill and eat. Let's say you have a principle. You generally don't kill and eat. The situation comes. Too many mosquitoes are there. Dengue, malaria, all sorts of things will come. What are you going to do? Are you going to live with mosquitoes? And are you going to take actions to kill them? First is you live as clean as possible to see that no mosquitoes breed. In spite of all your best efforts, mosquitoes breed. What do? Whatever you have to do, you do. If you have to kill them, kill them. You have no intention to kill them. So what I'm trying to say is, there are certain extreme steps at certain time. When it has to be done, you must have the capacity to do it without getting agitated. If it's done with no ego involved, then you will be able to do it. Otherwise, you can't do it. So here, the two wrongs thing doesn't come here. Oh, he did wrong, so I'm also doing wrong. No. Here, the rule is this. This fellows play like this.
So should one not move away from there, then
if you can move away, move away. If he comes running behind you and you are cornered against a wall, you have to fight. Or you say, no, it's better I get killed by them. Okay, fine. If that is what you think is the correct thing, okay, do that. See, Sri Krishna is called as Ranachoda Das. Ranachoda Das. He left the battlefield and ran away. You understand? Somebody to be called like that, it has to make us think. And Sri Krishna is called as Nityopavas. He had 16,000, more than 16,000 wives, 16,008 wives. And he is the person to whom Draupadi goes when she is disrobed. The person who is Bhishma, who did not get married, is there, did not come to her rescue. So you have to think, all these things they purposely put in the story to make us think. Here is a guy who is married to 16,000 wives. exaggeration to what point? You understand? But he is the guy whom she is praying to. Please come and save me. While there are fellows who have not even married, not coming to her aid, and she is also not looking up to them. What is this showing? All these fellows are principally bound. So we need to think. So it's not that they were bad, so we will also be bad. Two things, not like that.
Thank you.
What to handle? So therefore I am saying, it is neither end justify the means like Shweta asked, nor is it like how you are asking, two bads doesn't make one right. No. Not too bad at all. It's absolutely for survival. Survival in the sense, dharma hona chahiye. Otherwise there won't be any dharma whatsoever. See, you understand law, right? Now, as much as possible, though there are provisions in our law to hang the fellows, as much as possible, we say, just give them life. Don't give them death penalty. But there are extreme cases where the fellow is, there is no way he's going to get rehabilitated. So, what do you call, worse than animal, like a piece of wood. So what will you do with that fellow? You have to put that fellow to task. If need be, you have to hang him. Hang him. Because it's danger to the society. So, he is killing everybody, so you will also kill. So two will become right. One right? No. It won't. That is not the logic here. That's all I'm saying. The logic here is, this fellow is beyond repair. And is danger to the society. See, imagine, to get to the power, that fellow can do anything. Imagine what he'll do when he comes to power. Huh? All this battle is going on for what? To come to power. To come to power, he can be unscrupulous. Once the fellow comes to power, what will happen?
We are seeing that.
Yeah, even I'm still confused, Guruji. Like for the example which you gave about Caesar and Mark Antony. So today, like, being passively good is no point. You have to be aggressively good.
Not today, anytime.
You need to take action. Yes.
Anytime, not just today.
Yeah, but today, like today, for this, then you basically stoop to the same manipulation to, okay, it may be for the higher good, or it may be it's not a personal gain where he's trying to get. But he also used to a manipulative level to steer the crowd into, intellect. Why do you need to stoop to something which is wrong, even with intellect?
Nobody is stooping down. It is not like you are stooping down when you have to be. See, listen. Point is, the goodness should not be a weapon used against you. That is passivity. Your ahimsa is used against you. The British have fenced themselves with cows. And from behind the cows, they are shooting you. And then you will not shoot, because if you have to shoot, you will have to kill so many cows. So you, what happened? You died and you were conquered. After they conquered you, they are eating in front of you so many cows. So many cows are being butchered. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
The first thing is, you have to prevent such things to happen, such aggressively bad fellows to come to power. So if aggressively bad fellows have to be stopped, you have to view it from that angle. Unfortunately, you are viewing it only with reference to that action.
It is the action where we are saying that
Exactly. Doctor also plunges the knife into the patient's body. Terrorist also plunges. But the terrorist's intention is to kill. Doctor's intention is to save. To save the larger circle. If there are all means exhausted, because these fellows are functioning so unscrupulously, you have to fight the battle from that level. And see, sometimes you have to teach them that you are good in their action, you are in fact better than them. Then they'll keep quiet.
But there is no way to fight unscrupulous by still being scrupulous. You have to.
Why is that? If there are methods, you.
It's not easy, but I'm saying, like, is there, like, is it, you will have to also become unscrupulous to fight unscrupulous?
Unscrupulous. Unscrupulous means no rule you will follow. Here, this is not the question. I am not saying I will not follow rules. I am ready to follow rules. But everybody is driving chaotically here. So if I follow rules, I will die. If you think dying is the best, die. We are talking about living.
No, and that's not achieving a purpose. If you're dying, you're not being able to leave.
So how does it become
unscrupulous?
That doesn't become unscrupulous.
But that's at a physical level. That is using your brains or intellect to save yourself. But emotionally or...
Yes, emotionally, if there's a bully. If there's a bully, going on bullying you, he'll do anything he wants and he'll do. Once in a while you show it to him, then he will not come near you. See, what I'm trying to tell is, you have to stand up. We are being cowards here. In the name of goodness, we are all becoming cowards in life. I am not saying become a bully and then, but a bully only understands. You have to talk to that fellow in his own language. I don't know Hindi. Little bit I know here and there. Now, if you come and talk to me in Hindi, what will I understand? You have to talk to me in my language. Either you talk to me in English or in Tamil, I will understand. So you have to see, first of all, most of these fellows who are unscrupulous now, they're all darpoks. Please understand this. They're fundamentally cowards. Fundamentally cowards. But you have to touch on that particular nerve. Then they will keep quiet with you. Then they know, we are dealing with another guy. So then they will behave. With animals, when they control the animals in the circus, what are they doing? They're having that, what is that called? Whip, na? They have the whip. Then the tiger will keep quiet. If you go and sit with Vedanta, sit his book in front of tiger. Hari Om, let us chant Om Tana Bhautu. You understand? You won't be there to say Om Shanti. You will be finished. So, you are dealing with tiger, you better keep the whip. You got to understand that. That's all I'm saying. That's what the book is saying. This is not being unscrupulous. Unscrupulous means you are not ready to come under any rules and regulations. You are a believer that rules and regulations are only for the others. Such fellow is unscrupulous. Where am I unscrupulous, Baba? I am ready to follow rules and regulations. I am following rules and regulations. I am the guy who never stopped my car over the line, all that. Red means I'll stop. I'll go only in green. Even amber, I'll stop. You are like that person. But if a fellow is coming so fast behind you in a lorry and you have stopped because it is red, he is going to bang your car. You'll be finished. So what do you do? You may quickly have to pass by the red signal that time. In a context, he's driving like that, you will also do. What do you mean? You will also do. You have to do. If you don't do, your righteousness will not suffice. First of all, the word right only is applied when there is wrong. Please understand that. So, we need to have a lot of objectivity here. Otherwise, we will be justifying our passivity, our cowardice, our incapacity. A lot of us are incapacitated.
All also at times you want to not get into an argument, or you don't want to confront unnecessarily. So avoid a confrontation. So physically, you move away.
You must always avoid confrontation. But, like I said, beware of entrance to a quarrel. Being in, beareth that the enemy beware of thee. I don't want to get into quarrel. I don't want to get into argument. I don't want to get all that correct. See, when you are driving a car, supposing you are going in Maruti.
Sorry, Guruji. May I hear what you said? Beware of the entrance to the quarrel.
Being in, beareth that the enemy beware of thee. Your enemy should be beware of you. If you are, you must
enemy, not enemy? Sorry,
beware
enemy?
Of thee.
So basically be strong enough. If you're entering the thing, you have to have the strength to stand.
That thing, you forget about this thing, that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Strong only survives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without strength, it's no. In any way, you're passive.
When an animal gives birth, it gives birth to few puppies.
Mm-hmm.
Only strong survives. All the weak ones die.
Mm-hmm.
That's
the law of nature. It's basic.
That's what I'm saying. Subtle only controls the gross.
Mm.
If you are gross, you will be controlled by other subtle fellows. Then you suffer. Sri Krishna followed rules. Sam, Dham, Ved. How much discussion? He himself went to talk to those fellows. They tried to imprison Krishna. So talking failed. Then they said, "Arey Baba, theek hai, you keep everything. Just give us this much." Oh no, nothing. Arey? Anything they will not agree. It's like, you know, you both your hands, legs, everything will be tied. There will be, everything will be free. They can use whatever weapons they want, anything. And you have to fight and prove to the world that you are such a righteous, good fellow. You are a stupid fellow, not a good fellow. If you function like that. Let's conclude the class. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Bhujyatmanava Prakate Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Yeti Samarpayami. Hari Om.
Hari Om.